It's a joy to be with you all. What a privilege it is for me to be here with you. My name is Claudio Faringa. I am a missionary right now to the island of Madeira. And my desire is to put Madeira on the map. That is what I've come to do, and to covet your prayers, to ask you to pray for me and my family as we seek to plant a church in the island of Madeira. I do bring regards, greetings from our sending church in Rugby, England, Grace Bible Church Rugby. Pastor Tom McConnell sends his greetings to you all. We have been blessed by you as a church. We pray often for you. And even during COVID, we have been even encouraged by you all, by your perseverance, by your faith, and even by your generosity. Maybe many of you don't know, but we have been recipients of your generosity, of this church's generosity during that time. And we are so thankful for you all. I'm going to begin with a word of prayer, and then I just have a brief presentation to share with you about the work, followed by perhaps a time of Q&A, question and answers, and then I'll finish our time in prayer. Let's begin our time together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity that we have had and we continue to have to worship your glorious name together as your people. We thank you, Lord, that we are a redeemed people. We thank you that we are a saved people, and we have joy because you are our God and King. Lord, we are here gathered because we believe also in the importance of the Great Commission, in the importance of being faithful witnesses. So would you use this brief time together to work in all of our hearts, to motivate us, to encourage us, to pray for the work of missions, and to be involved in the work of missions. Lord, our prayer is that in all that we do, whether we eat or drink, that whatever we do, we would do all things for your glory. So be with us now during this time. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. My name is Claudio, and my wife, Nikki, she's British. We married about 12 years ago, and I have three lovely children. Abigail is 9 years old, Marcelo is 7, and Sophia is 5 years old. They are currently now in England, spending some time with my wife's parents in a place called Yorkshire, which is about 2 hours from Rugby. We are currently living in the island of Madeira for the last 5 months. I am from that island. It's a Portuguese island. And now I'm going to share a little bit about the island itself. Some people say that pictures speak louder than words, but I've created a video which hopefully will speak louder than pictures. So here's a brief video just so you can see the lay of the land in the island of Madeira. Madeira is actually the size of Edmonton when it comes to the area. It's quite a small place. This is Funchal, the capital. There's about 280,000 people in the island. About 1 million tourists comes through cruise ships and other ways. And this is where we're thinking to plant a church. No, I'm just teasing you. It's very drastic mountains, very mountainous. It's from a volcanic source. So you see a lot of beaches with black sand. It's a beautiful place. That's where I grew up for the first 18 years of my life. Here's more of a globe kind of perspective. You can see Portugal there with Spain and North Africa, and in the middle of nowhere, in the Atlantic Sea, there it is, the island of Madeira. And next to the island of Madeira, there's also two other islands, Porto Santo, right there, which has about 8,000 people. And then Desertas and Salvagens is like wild, deserted islands. There's no people living there. And in Madeira, like I said, there's about 280,000 people. It is truly a beautiful place. It has been called, just to whet your appetites, the Hawaii of Europe. And it's also famously called the Pearl of the Atlantic. It is very beautiful. And I really enjoy living there. Here is a pin. So you can clearly see, kind of roughly see. I actually saw that you have a map there. And I was speaking to Peter, and it seemed like just a speck of dust. But it actually is the island of Madeira in your missionary map. You have it there. Madeira means wood because of its abundance of wood. And though this island is very beautiful physically, spiritually is a very dark place. The primary religion is Roman Catholicism. Most people are actually not practicing, very nominal, very dormant, but everyone is a Catholic. That's what their grandparents were, that's what their parents are, and that's who they will be until they die. It's ingrained in their culture, like I was too. When it comes to Catholicism, there's about 78% of Catholics. It's actually come down slightly, but 8 out of 10 people would consider themselves Catholic. Maybe the older generation would be more practicing, as it is true in so much of Europe. You can see some pictures here. This is one of the main cathedrals, Igreja da Sé in Funchal. Thousands of people flock the streets in its countless festivals that happen throughout the year. I, as a boy myself, would walk in these processions with a candle. I had no clue what I was doing, and I don't think many other people knew what they were doing, but that's just ingrained in one's culture. When it comes to Protestants, there is 0.8 Protestants in the island. That means that for every 250 people, two people would consider themselves Protestants. And you can add a whole bunch of people like prosperity gospel proclaimers, charismatic churches, you name it. So it's very, very small amount of Protestants in the island. Even Madeirans themselves is even less. I can count with my fingers the amount of Madeirans that I know that are truly born again. There is not only do you have the Catholicism that's been there for decades, it's actually a very famous place that the Pope would often go on holiday, and he'd even have like a Pope mobile. I don't know if you've ever heard that before. Such an interesting vehicle. But in the last decade, you've had this new wave of prosperity gospel that really is contaminating the island of Madeira. This is one of the biggest churches there, about 400 people, which for Madeira is a mega, mega, mega church. And this, a lot of it is coming from this gentleman, Bishop Eder Macedo. He's from Brazil. He owns the second biggest television industry in Brazil. He owns banks, jets, you name it. And his teaching is becoming more and more prevalent in the island of Madeira. And most of the prosperity gospel churches in the island of Madeira have a Brazilian pastor running it. It's really like a pyramid scheme, unfortunately. And the people in Madeira are actually becoming hurt. Even as I walk the streets of Machico, where I'm living, to share the gospel, people say, "So who are you? You know, what kind of church are you from?" And if I say, I've said, you know, I'm evangelical, "Ah, you're one of those. You're Brazilian. You believe in the tithing and falling down and all these crazy things." So I have to be careful what I label myself. But it's very prevalent in the island of Madeira. Just sharing a little bit about the testimony of how the Lord saved me. I grew up in a Catholic nominal family with loving parents. Never read the Bible before, never prayed. We would go to church maybe twice a year, Christmas and Easter, but a loving family. Unfortunately, my father passed away when I was 12, which meant that I became more of a rebellious boy. Then my mom passed away when I was 18, so an orphan from a young age, living by myself around 17, 18, and that just made me just go and pursue the world, the things of the world, like a pig that loves to enjoy the mire. I saw a few pigs yesterday in Pastor Brad's farm, but like a pig that loves the mud, that was me, living in the world, chasing the consumption of illegal substances, chasing women, and that was my God. That's who I worshiped. All of that changed when my brother, Sandro, immigrated to England in around 2011, and he came under the sound teaching of a church there under Pastor Tom McConnell, and it was there that he heard the gospel. When the Lord saved my brother, he said two things. I need to be careful not to get emotional, okay? He said two things. "I need to tell my people about this. And then he said, I need to tell my brother about this. And so he calls me. A year, we didn't speak for more than a year. We didn't have a very good relationship. He calls me and he says, Claudio, God exists and there's a way for you to know him. I thought to myself, telling you the truth, the first thing I thought is, what have these British people done to my brother? They have brainwashed him because my brother never spoke about God unless it was in blasphemy. He said, God exists. There's a way for you to know him. He sent me a sermon by a gentleman you may know, John MacArthur. I listened to it for 8 seconds and I'm like, this is boring. Who would listen to this? And so I just left it aside. He said, Claudio, there's a job for you here in England. Why don't you come and join me? Now, I confess to you, I don't want to upset Brother Derek, that I had been to England before, but I did not like the food. I didn't like the weather. It was dark at 4 o'clock at night. I didn't like it. But for some reason, when my brother said, come to England, I said, okay. I remember even friends saying, why are you going to England? I said, I don't know, but I have to go to England. When I get to England, I see my brother Sandro, a completely different man. He was praying for me, reading God's word. I was trying to still influence him. Let's go to the nightclub. No, I'm a changed man. He took me instead to Pastor Tom's house. And as an atheist, as an angry 19-year-old man, I was angry and I had many questions that any atheist would have. If God exists, why are there people dying? Why are there people starving in Africa if your God exists? I really wanted his opinion, but he kept going to the word of God to say, this is what the Bible says. This is what the Bible says. I remember vividly one day while I was in his living room, he asked me, Claudio, do you believe you're a sinner? And in my arrogance, I said, of course, we're all sinners. No one's perfect, we're all sinners. Tom looks at my brother and he says, I can't help your brother. I said to him, what do you mean you can't help me? What's wrong with me? He says, you don't see sin the way God sees sin. You don't see sin the way God sees sin. So he gave me an assignment. He gifted me a topical Bible from John MacArthur. A topical Bible is a Bible that's divided, organized by category. So A for angels. He put a little post-it note or sticky note in the word sin. And he gave me an assignment to go home and read all the passages that speak about sin. And so I did, reading my Bible for the first time. Some days I was listening to Richard Dawkins, Christopher Hitchens, and I was rejoicing that there is no God. Yes, I am safe. There is no God. Other times, I'm reading the word of God. Oh no, I am a sinner. I am going to hell if God exists. I am so much trouble. I remember vividly reading Romans 6:23, that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I think that's the passage that the Holy Spirit used to convict me of my sin and to help me understand that my sin is not just horizontally against men, but it's against a holy God. And I've broken all the commandments. I knew I was a sinner. The next time I go to Pastor Tom's house, Sandro's there, Pastor Tom's there, and another pastor. I didn't have many other questions. He says, do you have any questions? I said, no. He said, Claudio, do you believe you're a sinner? I said, I am a sinner. He said, what are you waiting for? And so I prayed. I asked the Lord to save me, and my brother would embrace me and said, I told you God is real. That's in 2012. In February. And then I thought to myself, what about my people in Madeira that have never heard the gospel? 18 years I lived there and not once did I hear the gospel. That began years of being discipled by Pastor Tom, years of doing a customized curriculum through the local church. We did some investigation to find out whether there would be other churches that we could join. There was some churches, but we wouldn't feel comfortable by bringing our family there. We were just deacons at the time, Sandra and I. So we said to Pastor Tom, look, we've never preached before. We don't know what our gifts are. Would you please train us, see if we can do this and come to Madeira? And he said, yeah, no money, little resources, small chance of success. Let's do it. And that began the Madeira Project. Other people in the church said, hey, is this training available for us? Of course. And so we opened up that training with different pastors, professors come to rugby, some online classes. And by God's grace, I was able to finish that, raise some support, and be sent to Madeira. I'm going to share with you a little bit of the chronology of Madeira because it's not as linear as a missionary would like it to be. And I think most things in life aren't as linear as we would like them to be. The journey was in January the 6th, 2023. I arrived in Madeira. Those are not all my family. Okay, my brother, which is on that left picture at the end, and his wife, Emma, which is next to my wife there in the middle. And fun fact, two brothers married two sisters. Okay, so we are so thankful that my brother is there with his wife. They're in Funchal in the capital, and we're more on the east side in Machico, both involved in planting a church. And we love them. We love their church. They also have three children, two boys and one girl. But I've been told it's not a competition, okay? I did ask my wife, hey, if Emma had another child, oh, maybe we need to have another child. So I think it is a competition, okay? We arrived 6th of January, 2023, found this lovely home that we've started renting, and that's the view of our house in Machico. We slowly began going into the fishing holes of Funchal, doing evangelism, engaging mostly the Madeirans with the gospel. I do not discriminate. Of course, if anyone comes and wants to speak about it, I am gladly going to share the gospel with them, but I'm trying to be intentional and reaching the Madeirans that are lost. So I began slowly doing evangelism. My wife, Nikki, began homeschooling, something that's not particularly done in the island. My wife also started learning Portuguese. She's British, so she's making good progress. Around May, we organized, booked a hotel conference room, and we organized an event saying, what is the gospel? And about 16 people came. It was really encouraging. In the meantime, our dear partner in Christ, Alex Rappe, some of you may know him. He's a TMS grad from America in Spokane. He joined us in Madeira. So he's 33.3% of our current team. And so we're really thankful that he is there with us. He arrived in December 2023. Because we have some really good connections with some churches in mainland Portugal, some really strong Baptist churches there. We organized our first short-term missions trip, and all of these people you see there are from there, apart from the gentleman on the left. That's Pastor Tom McConnell, who came to encourage us. And with that team in the streets of Funchal, it was like a dream come true, seeing all of them just actively for hours sharing the gospel on the streets of Funchal, having wonderful gospel interactions. I think we must have given about 5,000 invitations. For the end of the week in this STM, we just booked another hotel room and had an evangelistic event where I was able to share the gospel with those people that you see in the pictures who came. Many of them, most of them, had never heard the gospel ever before. So we had some tracts to give them, some booklets, some Bibles. We had wonderful conversations with them, and we used that opportunity with those gathered to start doing some fundamentals of the faith. We asked and advertised whoever wants to join us. We have the fundamentals of the faith in Portuguese, and this is something very valuable for these people. We started doing it. We had about five to six people. We were renting this room, but then we decided to go and meet on a shopping mall, and other people would say, well, what are they doing? It was a wonderful opportunity. That gentleman next to me is called Mario. An interesting fact, he is a charismatic Catholic priest missionary. Okay, I think he was trying to convert us as much as we were trying to share the gospel with them, but it was a wonderful opportunity. He would come to all of them, and he did the whole book. Great questions he had. Those two ladies you see are currently attending a charismatic church, and Ruben is actually still going to my brother's church because, as I will share on this next slide, about 18 months into our stay in Madeira, one of our elders at our sending church, our mother church, unexpectedly resigned, which left Pastor Tom by himself. It left the church in a very, very difficult situation. The church is about 13 years old. So my wife and I had to pray, what do we do in the situation? If there's no mother church, there's no daughter church. So we prayed and said, we are willing to return to England for me to be the primary preaching pastor there, to help stabilize the church and to spend 6 to 12 months there. And so that's what we did. It was hard because right about that time, my wife finally got used to being in the island. But we thought, no, this is good. This is something that we should do to help this church, this dear church that we dearly love. And so we spent 12 months there. And really the purpose of our return was to stabilize the church and just recognize we don't make elders and deacons. We just want to recognize who the Lord has in the congregation that could serve at that capacity. And we were able in this last year to appoint two more pastors, Michael Cianetti and Anthony Coote. They've been for many years in the church, faithful, godly men. We're so thankful that they joined the eldership team. And also we added Tox and Sean to our deacons. After a year of spending that time in Rugby and just this short-term rental, we sold everything back again and off we returned to Madeira. This was the last day that we were there with the family and the pastors and the elders. It was a wonderful time. And they always make some good fellowship meals because there's so many different nationalities. We have some good food. Sometimes I have no idea what I'm eating, but it's delicious. Maybe you have some of that too over here. We returned to Madeira 5 months ago, so quite recently, and that is why we're here. We're trying to return to rebuild the momentum that we have made for the last 18 months that we were there, and that is why we're here to ask you to pray for us. For the last 5 months, we really have been trying to just lay some foundations, remembering that really church planting is a long-term vision. It's like a marathon, not a sprint. So we're just trying to plant our flag and so that people that are currently praying for us know that we don't make plans to return back to England anytime soon, if that's the Lord's will. So we're trying to lay some roots down. Alex has just purchased a property about 6 months ago. We're in the final stages of purchasing a property as well. Hopefully next Thursday, my brother will go on my behalf to sign the deed and collect the keys, which we're really excited about. But there's four main ways that we would love for you to pray for us. One of our priorities is the gospel outreach. That is why we're there. So on a daily, every couple hours, I go out in the streets of Machico and now in Santa Cruz, which is where the airport is. That's really our fishing holes. And for a couple hours, I go and interact with people, praying that the Lord would bring me Lydia-like people and go with tracts, with gospels, and with Bibles in my backpack and just see who the Lord brings me. One of the ways that I share the gospel with people, I've been asked, how is it to share the gospel with Catholics? And some of you are actually from, used to be Catholic. So I always think that sharing the gospel with Catholics is very easy and very hard. It's very easy because they agree, yes, the Bible, and yes, Jesus is the Son of God, and even they agree on the Trinity. So that gives you such an easy entry point to speak about the Lord. I normally, when I go to the street, I say to people, hey, I'm here asking people who they think Jesus is. Who do you think Jesus is? Oh, Jesus is the Son of God. And what's the deal with him dying on the cross? Why did he die on the cross? I try to focus on Christology because with a lot of JWs there, some Mormons there, and Catholics, it all boils down to who is Jesus? And so we are very focused in asking people, who do you say Jesus is? And that provides wonderful conversations, but it's hard to interact with Catholics because they think they're fine. They think, yeah, we believe everything you believe, we're fine. And so we have to often be very direct to show to them that they are trusting in their works, that they are not trusting in Christ alone. And so that provides some challenging situations sometimes with some Catholics there. One gentleman that I would love you to pray for is João Sena. Mr. João Sena, we've had the pleasure of speaking with him for many times. He's a 93-year-old man who lives by himself in this tiny little house. He lives by himself. He immigrated to South Africa, lived there for many, many years. He is from Madeira, but he's been living back in Madeira for 7 years, living by himself, no many people to speak to. And so I would see him here. This is in Machico. I would see him in one of these benches, and I would often, he would recognize me, and I would often speak to him. We've had meals together. At Christmas, we were able to gift him a microwave, and he was over the moon just to have someone to talk to, someone to love him, and more importantly, someone to share the gospel with him. We really appreciate your prayers for Mr. Sena. This is so you can have an idea of one of the places where we're living in Machico. This is kind of, we have a little route as we give tracks. And this is, I used to live up there in a mountain in a little house. That's the house you saw, the rented house. I'm not there anymore in that rented house. So I'm kind of officially homeless until I get this new property. So pray that it would all succeed. Another tremendous answer to prayer is when it comes to a space to rent. Okay, for months, Alex and I in the last 5 months have tried to go to hotels to get the conference room or to schools, anywhere that we can find a space to rent so that we can invite people and have a church service, have Bible studies. And so after a couple months of seeing how the prices were so high, seeing many people saying no, we kind of gave up and said, let's just continue to faithfully go from place to place and make contacts, share the gospel, and see if the Lord provides us with a church building. We ask our people in the newsletter, in our newsletters, please pray that the Lord would provide a place. One of those places we visited was this old shopping mall in Santa Cruz, prime location, no churches there. We went into this abandoned shopping mall. We looked at this building. This lady was showing us around. She's like, oh, there's something written in that commercial property. Don't pay any attention to that. And I said, I looked at that. It says, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me does not walk in darkness, but has the light of life. I'm like, that's interesting. Someone is probably about to open a church in this shopping mall. Very clever because of its strategic location. But I thought, I don't want to compete and try and set door next to it. So I just left it. I took a picture of it. It's not every day you see something like this in Santa Cruz. And I left it. A couple months later, we're visiting Christ Church Funchal, where my brother is one of the pastors. Alex and I are there visiting with them. And this lady from Romania, she's living in Romania. She has an apartment in Madeira. She lives sometimes in Madeira. She starts asking Alex and saying, hey, Alex, I heard that you guys are looking for some facilities. Are you looking for a church, like to have a church home? No, we're looking for like a commercial property. Whereabouts are you looking for in Santa Cruz? Yeah, we're looking for a place in Santa Cruz. She said, well, you could see her hesitating, thinking about it. And she said, well, I never told this to anyone, but last year there was someone that said, there's these properties in this old abandoned shopping mall that are going out for cheap. Would you be interested in buying a commercial property? They said to her. And she said, well, I don't really have much use for it, but I wonder if this venue, this commercial space, could be used in the future as a church building. So what she did, because she wasn't using it, she put that verse in that commercial property. She scheduled the lights to come on during the day so it could be like an advertisement, like a billboard, I am the light of the world. And she left it. And she said, I have a place for you. Would you like to use it? And we're like, showing on the phone, is this your place? That's your place. Yes, that's the place. And she's like, you can use it anytime you want. And we're like, yeah, we would be happy to contribute. And she's like, no, this is the Lord's money. This is the Lord's work. It's yours to use for as long as you like. And we're like, when we gave up looking for a place and when we asked God's people to pray, without even looking for it, the Lord has provided a place for us to meet. So we're really excited, currently changing the use from just a normal commercial store to be able to have church services. We're getting carpets and chairs and projectors. So we're hoping by around April, we can use that really as the hub, as the place to invite people. So be praying that the Lord would use this space for us to really have a gospel focus there, gospel witness. So really pray for the evangelistic outreach. That's one of our priorities. Secondly, please pray that the Lord would help us to develop a ministry team. We are looking primarily for those in mainland Portugal because they already speak the language and it's about 2 hours plane. So there's so many good churches. We're constantly in contact with them, asking the pastors to challenge the congregation. Who will go and help the Farinhas and Alex to plant a church? And internationally, we're looking for people that are like-minded, that love missions and have a heart for the lost to join us. So please pray that the Lord would help us. Because if we had just one family, two families with children, we would already have a core group. And we think that would really help us with the momentum with this church plant. Thirdly, please continue to pray for language learning. I've heard, because in Madeira, the accent is very hard. The older people, they close their mouths, speak really fast. I've heard it's similar to an island you have here in Canada, Newfoundland Island. So it's very similar. As soon as I open my mouth in Portugal, they think you're either from Azores or from Madeira. I cannot fool. I try to sound posh and proper, but I can't. So it's harder for my wife and Alex to learn that kind of hard language. So pray for them that the Lord would help them. It's a slow work, but they are doing really, really well. I'm also hoping, because the Lord saved me in England, most of my Bible training, Bible memorization, and even preaching has been done in English. So I'm hoping there's a school, a TMAI school in Spain by Pastor David Robles and Ruben, that they have an extension in Portugal. And so at the end, in October, I'm hoping to start a 3-year program with them to rub shoulders with other Portuguese speakers and say, hey, any ministry aspirations? We have a wonderful plan for your life. But also to really sharpen the tool and for me to learn the Portuguese language. So pray for language learning. And lastly, we really need to have people that pray for us. You have some great examples in this congregation of prayer warriors. One prayer warrior here is one of the reasons why I'm here. One that continues to pester the elders with our newsletters. And I'm so thankful for men and women, brothers in Christ that pray for us. So please, would you pray for us as we continue this work in the island of Madeira? I have left on the table outside some missionary prayer cards so you can pray for us. Put it on the fridge. There's a QR code with more information. There's also a church plant proposal so you can find out more about the kind of church that we're trying to plant. And there's also a very interesting booklet that I created a few months ago, God's Work in Madeira, that shows the wonderful history of how the Lord has brought a revival to this island less than 200 years ago, using two Scottish men, Robert Calley and William Hewitson, these two men that were sent to the island of Madeira. And there are records of more than 1,000 people after work in the countryside walking for hours to hear Robert Calley preach in the open air. This is wonderful. Andrew Bonner actually said that what's happened in Madeira is the greatest happening in modern missions. And so if you want to know more, there's a little booklet for you in the back so that you can really be praying for us as we continue the work there. That concludes our presentation, but I don't know if some of you have any questions that you would like to ask. We have about 15 minutes perhaps, and then I'll close our time in prayer. Go ahead.
If you needed a car to in Madeira, or is the place you said it's small, like the city of Edmonton, people can walk on bicycle with the nice weather, or you really need a car?
Yeah, there are. That's a great question. There are public transports. We don't have trains or tubes. We have a lot of buses. A lot of people just walk and take the public transport. But we do have a small Ford Focus that we use. It is just practical, especially shopping. But if you ever see the streets of Madeira, I often make a joke that we drive by faith and by sight, because it's crazy. The highway, it's like a Hot Wheels track. You just need a loop. It is very hard. And you can pray for my wife, because being from Britain, she drives on the wrong side. On the other side of the road, we're on the same page, friends. And so you can pray for her. It's harder for her to drive. But yeah, we use a vehicle to go about. Any other questions? Oh, go ahead.
How expensive is life over there? Like, how much does it cost to rent a home, and how expensive is food?
Yeah.
And the travel also.
Yeah. It's actually getting increasingly more expensive, and not just in Madeira, but of course globally, but in islands like Tenerife and in Madeira, because of the over-tourism that we're having. And not just tourism per se, but a lot of digital nomads, for example, they have a lot of capital. They buy all the properties, then sell them. And the Madeirans are like, and the people living there increase the prices to cater for the tourists and the people with the money, which means that a Madeiran who makes about 1,800 euros a month, to rent a three-bedroom house in Funchal would be 1,700, maybe 2,000 sometimes. And so with 800 euros, it's very, very difficult economically. Shopping, food, it's about, for our family, Marcelo, I need a line budget for my boy. It's about 800 euros of food a month. And the gas or diesel is not too expensive. Yeah, but it's getting worse, unfortunately. Yeah, thank you for that question. Maybe a couple more questions?
Do people stay in Madeira, or do they leave? Locals?
So the question was, do people stay in Madeira, or do they leave, like the locals? Actually, Madeira, it's a very immigrant culture. Because there's only one university, there's very few jobs. So even if you want to become a doctor, you have to go to mainland Portugal. And then instead of going back to Madeira, well, there's better jobs in Switzerland and Germany and Europe. So there's a massive immigration culture. There are some people that want to go back to their beautiful island, but they think, how can I afford living in this island? So it's sad that, like me and my brother, we spent years in England wishing and wanting to return back, but it's very hard, very much an immigration community. Mm-hmm. Any other questions? Oh, go ahead, brother. How easy would it be to visit if you don't speak Portuguese? For most places in Madeira, because it's very touristy, that's one of our main sources of income, you can get by with only speaking English pretty much anywhere. The further you go north to the little villages, hardly anyone speaks. But if you just stay on the coast, most people speak English, which is very hard for those trying to learn the language, because they want to practice their English. And like my wife wants to practice her Portuguese, but you can get by. And that's also a difficult thing, because a lot of the people that come that just enjoy the island, not necessarily like to be with the people, they just make zero effort to learn the language. And so they can just get by with just England. If you ever want to visit Madeira, the thing I don't recommend you to do is to watch any videos of how we land planes in Madeira, okay? I know I've now caused you to go and look on YouTube, yes. Let's just say they had to extend the runway. And let's just say that the runway is on stilts. Yeah, so sometimes I go under the runway to play with my kids, and it's fun. So it is known as one of the hardest places to land because of the wind and because of how short the runway is. But they hire many experienced pilots to land the plane. Fun fact, the first time I went with Pastor Tom, the plane landed and everyone started clapping. And Pastor Tom's like, why are they clapping? And I said, because we landed, you know? So it's the step of faith all the way, driving, getting there, but it's a beautiful place and I recommend you visit. Perhaps one more question if we have time and then we'll close our time.
You mentioned that you are kind of homeless right now until you get into a place. What do you mean by homeless? Do you mean you're on the streets? Do you mean you're at a family?
Good question.
It ties into my second question.
Okay, so that first question, we just before leaving to live my family in England and come to the U.S., I'm here for 5 weeks in Canada for the first time and then in the U.S., hoping to end at the Shepherd's Conference. We gave the house, the rented house, mm-hmm. the keys. We put all our stuff in storage in Alex's, my missionary colleague, in his house. And we're just hoping to finish purchasing this property so that when we return to Madeira, we have a house to live. So we haven't lived on the streets or anything good. Like that.
The reason why I asked this first part, because it's connected to what I'm going through and I need advice on. I am truly homeless. I am staying at a homeless shelter.
Okay.
And this homeless shelter is very woke. And because of that, I fear to speak the Lord. So if you were afraid that if you spoke the Lord, you'd be on the streets, would you change the way you witness to people? Would it be more subtle? Mm-hmm. Would mm-hmm. you keep it the same and mm-hmm. that your whole family might be on the streets?
Sure, sure.
Because I do wish to witness to people at this mission, but I am fearful that, you know, it's going to cost us staying out in the cold.
That's a really good question. I think there's different ways in which you can share the gospel with people. Of course, if you were, you know, to stand up and start doing open air in the homeless shelter, that probably would be a very difficult way and maybe you would be soon kicked out. I would start by praying that the Lord would provide you opportunities to share the gospel. Tracts is a really good resource. Tracts, Bibles, gospels. And you can ask instead of giving, hey, I am a Christian. This is who I am. And would you like to know more about it? Using your own testimony, like the woman of Samaria in John 4, is a great way to present the gospel where you're sharing, this is what the Lord has done in my life. And this is what he can do for your life too. And perhaps you can speak with some of the pastors here. They may have some more advice and counsel to give you. But that's kind of, I would try to be wise and in how I would go about sharing the gospel, but definitely praying that the Lord would grant you opportunities, even in that difficult situation that you find yourself in, that you could still even be a salt and light in that difficult situation. Yeah, I hope that's helpful. Yeah. Well, I'll be after this Sunday school hour. I'm going to be just outside by the table. If you'd like to speak or ask any more questions, I'll be glad to answer any of them. I also have my tablet at the back with a webpage for you to put your email if you'd like to receive our newsletters. We try to send them on a monthly basis so you can continue to find out what's going on and find out what better ways you have to pray for us. Okay, it's been a delight to be with you all. Thank you so much for how you've received me. From the time I got to the airport a few days ago to now, I've just been so loved and cared by you all. So I'm really thankful for this opportunity. Let us pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, what a joy that it is to be your child. What a joy it is for us as those who were lost, as those who were blind, as those who were dead. What a privilege it is to have been washed by your blood, to have been cleansed, to have been adopted, and to have passed from death to life, from Satan's domain to the Son's family. Lord, we thank you for all the riches that are ours in Christ Jesus. And we pray, oh Lord, that you would help us as a family and even this church to continue to be a salt and light in their neighborhoods, that you would help us all to take seriously the charge, the great commission that is not optional, but that is bound for everyone here today that considers themselves a Christian. Lord, we pray for our families, for our friends, for those who may be trapped, whether it's in Catholicism, in whatever religion. Oh Lord, would you please help us to be bold to share Christ with our loved ones? Increase our love for you increase our love for the lost and help us to continue to die to ourselves. Lord, continue to strengthen this church. Strengthen the leadership of this church. Strengthen the membership of this church. And thank you once again. What a delight it is when brothers walk in unity. What a delight it is to be loved and to be among the brothers, the fellowship. We thank you for that. Lord, would you bless the rest of this Lord's Day? Would you especially give strength to Pastor Jake as he preaches your word shortly again? Would you be glorified in all that we do? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you.